نعم دهو سنين رسول الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد المعدن الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعليه الفال بمرة اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعليه وصحبه وعليك وسلم أما بعد دوشي برنسل
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the Quran Hakim, in the noble Quran, Allah has stated, Allah inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. This is a very famous, well-known verse of the Quran. And regularly you will have heard this from the respected scholars, the honorable mashayikh. This verse you will have heard. And in my mind today as well, this same verse is in my mind that I have just recited in front of you. Allah Ta'ala in this verse of the Quran Allah starts by saying, Allah, inna awliya Allah. So to strengthen that, listen carefully. You know, like someone says, listen carefully, that I'm about to tell you something, Allah says. And don't have any doubt in this. There's no doubt. Allah is saying this to the human being. Allah inna awliya Allah. Allah says, verily, that my friends, the walis of Allah, those who are close to me, my friends, who I love, Allah says, and they also love me, Allah says. The awliya Allah. Allah is now defining them, praising them. So who are those people who are the friends of Allah? Very high level people, they are high class, high level, from amongst the human beings. The awliya Allah. Ahsani taqweem, Allah says about them in the Quran. All human beings are the same, nose, ears, our liver, kidneys, whether we accept it or not. But all human beings in the physical domain, we're the same. Everyone's the same. Everyone believes this. But Allah says, the difference is just here. What's the difference amongst the human beings? Is that who believes in his Lord? And what is our relationship with our Lord? How strong is that? From this relationship, you can start to separate out the human beings. You have different ranks, different levels, different status. So look at the classification that Allah Ta'ala starts to give amongst the human beings. So by looking at a person physically, outwardly is the same. The body, please listen carefully to what I'm saying so you understand today what I'm saying. The Wali Allah, his gathering is today. That Wali Allah, if you put your intentions correct, you will leave here full of blessings. Full of blessings. This is that Wali Allah's gathering today. So Allah Ta'ala says, SubhanAllah, that this is not some small class. It's a high class. He is a human being. He eats, he drinks, he has a wife, he has children, he's physically living the world, life in the world, he's got a house, he's got a car. Worldly circumstances, he's got different, you can say, statuses in the world, different titles, different businesses. Where's the difference that comes in the human beings for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How does Allah ta'ala distribute the classes? Sometimes a human being becomes an animal. He becomes worse than the animals. Worse, he starts to do dhulm, oppression in society. Then the animals do not oppress as much as the human beings oppress. When they have no mercy, he doesn't even think that even the stone and the rocks are softer. Allah says in the Quran that even the rocks, even the stones, from there the fountains can gush forth. But when the hard-hearted human being becomes such, then nobody can hope for any goodness from that person. That same human being, when he creates a connection with his Lord, with his Creator, then he goes towards Allah more, and he starts to believe in Allah more, and he starts to follow Allah's instructions more, and all the good qualities, he understands that Allah is my Rabb, He is the creator, He is the owner, He is the controller, He is the giver. As the person's belief in all these qualities, attributes of Allah strengthens, then he starts to become a unique human being. The same person from yesterday, who was arrogant, jahil, illiterate, used to eat haram, do unlawful actions. He didn't know that what should I do with my wife? How should I go with my wife? What's my relationship with the wife? He was an animal, always used to use the things in the world like an animal. And every ni'mah, gift of Allah, he was like an animal using them. He wanted to fulfill his desires. And he was content with his animal life, animalistic life. But when that same human being, when with Allah's fadl, grace, generosity, that same human being, when he has iman, when he believes in Allah, he was so foolish and stupid before that even he's drinking the urine of an animal and he's saying it's good. He picks up the stone and rock, he cleans it, and then he puts that rock in front of him and he starts to make the face of the idol, carves it out like a dog or a cat, and he worships that stone. And he's looking for miracles and the signs of God from a rock. And he says that this is the rock that is giving to me and I'm getting from this God. He worships the idols. So what's the difference between me and you and that person, those people who are living in the world today? What's the difference? Yes, we've got the same body, same nose, the degree you studied, he would have studied a degree. Same thing, isn't it? Am I right or wrong? Tell me. So we see that he's a Hindu, he's a Muslim, he's a human being. He sits with you, he eats the same as you eat. What's the difference? The difference, where does it arise? The difference is here. That the person who believes in Allah and says, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Soon as the human being recites this, then he gets such great understanding. He understands a rock as a rock, an idol as an idol, a cow as a cow, urine of the cow as a urine. He understands the difference. And then the more he gets close to Allah, the more he draws near to Allah, the more he comes on the path of the deen and gets stronger. And according to his understanding, his akhlaq, his conduct, his manners, his heart starts to improve and change, get better. That same, he becomes pure, clean human being. And he himself becomes like a fountain to benefit others. He becomes a river himself, he becomes an ocean himself. That the most dirty person who dives into his ocean, that human being, he leaves as a pure person. In other words, the qualities come in that human being, that I am pure and I'll purify you as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's how good the human being can become. With regards to this, Allah says, Allah inna awliya Allah. These are my friends in the world. Human beings. Allah says, I call them my friends. And Allah is defining now His friends in the world. Allah says, from the same human beings that you live amongst, they become my friends. And they go high in their rank towards my qurb, my nearness. From those same human beings who are slaves to their desires, and they follow their desires. But it's up to you, Allah says. What do you want to become? Allah says, I'm your Rabb, I'm your creator. And I will give food to the person who worships the idols, and I'll give you food as well, O believer. Allah says, I promised one thing in the world, Allah says, I'm your creator, and I promise one thing, that I'm Rabbul Alameen, I'm the Lord of all human beings. And there's no differentiation here, that I give. If a sinful person, he doesn't pray salah, he doesn't follow deen, Allah says, no problem, I've promised this already. It doesn't matter who it is. The mangoes are for you, O pious person, and for the sinful person. The sinful person's eating apple, and you're eating an apple as well. You are drinking a juice, and the sinful person will be given the juice as well. Food, you will eat chicken, and he won't say to you, give me chicken, don't eat. You will say that, oh, you're disobedient to Allah, and he will also eat the food that Allah gives him. From the same takeaway, he'll be buying the food, you'll be buying the food as well. Is this the case or not? So where's the difference? Where does the difference arise? The difference arises the same point what Allah Ta'ala is saying here. Allah inna awliya Allah. Allah says, my awliya Allah, to recognize them. How will you recognize my friends? What is the sign? Tell me. What is the sign of the friend of Allah? How will you recognize them? The first thing, Allah Ta'ala, that you have told us the sign, straightforward, that person who believes in me, Allah says, first condition, he must believe in me. So the first sign is clear now to us. The first sign is clear. That those people have no iman, they cannot be walis of Allah from the disbelievers. One is the enemy, one is the friend. Either you have a friend or you have an enemy. So obviously they've come out of that category, isn't it? Because they don't believe, so they cannot be the friends of Allah. Because they don't believe. So that's straightforward. Then Allah says, so the first condition, the first step to become my wali, is that he will accept that I am his Rabb. Allah says that he will believe that I am his Lord. That's the first step. Sajda, he will prostrate to me. Allah Ta'ala says, that's the condition. Ibadah, worship, you must worship me. Allahu waliyul ladina amanu, Allah says. Every person who has iman, he is what? He is a wali Allah. Every believer is a wali. Understand the point here. Every believer, Muslim, is a wali Allah. On believing, Allah says, all of you are my friends. All of you. Because you believe. But who are we? Comparison to who? In comparison to those who do not believe me, Allah says, those who don't believe me are against me, those who don't believe in me. Allah says, in comparison to that, you believe in me, so you are my friend. That's step number one. So now, Allah says, you have taken the grasp, you have come into the circle of my friendship, Allah says. But there's different classification there. The relationship between you and me now is different, Allah says, but you're not a disbeliever. How? Not in eating and drinking and food. And provisions, how are you different now, O believer? Because in your heart, there's a difference that's arisen now. In your heart. And there's a difference in the result of your practical life. Because the result's coming now, isn't it? Me and you, we've got to result in it. It will come out one day, the result. What will be the result of our life? The believers. That person who believes in me, Allah says. And who recites the kalima. And has belief in me, Allah says. And after believing his iman, even if it's a mustard seed, even if it's equivalent to a in hadith, this is even a particle of dust. If you have the iman, then definitely one day you will go into paradise. Definitely. One day you will go into Jannah. Because you believed in Allah, that's the rule. It's a must, 100%. Why? Because you are my friend and Allah says, I'll fulfill my friendship, my contract. You've believed in me, Allah says. You're a believer. But he hasn't really believed in me. He's become my friend. And the other person has believed me. So he's become my friend. So what's our action? So now Allah says that you will go to Jahannam. You will get the punishments. To this extent, Allah says that when all the decisions will be made, that person who believed in me, I will take him one day definitely out of hell. And the last person who will come out of hell is stated that when he will be called out from inside the depth of hell, is there anyone left? They will say, Allah, there's one person left in hell. One, because he recited the kalima, he's remembering you, Allah is in hell. Who? That person who is right at the bottommost pit of hell. Allah says, he's remembering me. And the angels say, yeah, Allah is remembering you. Allah says, take him out of hell. Take him out. And he will be washed in the water of Noor, and he will be glowing, and his libas will change. He'll be taken out of hell. He'll be brought to the door of paradise. I'm telling the meaning of the hadith here. The meaning of the hadith. And mashallah, tell me that person who... that he comes from a hot country, hot room, hot cold room, comes into a cold room, his mind is changes suddenly, his mindset, he gets cool and calm. Imagine in the world today, you're in a very hot country, hot room, for example, you go on Umrah, it's hot, sweating, and you leave that and you go back to your hotel, it's air conditioning room, and your feeling will be calm and mellow, that from 100 degrees Fahrenheit I was there, and I've come down to a cooler temperature now. So the person who is in the hotmost pit of hell, the burning, may Allah forgive all of us, may Allah protect all of us from this bottomless pit of hell. Why should we need to even go there in the first place? We should change ourselves now while we're in this world. That's why you've come here today. Allah says, explain to the people that you have no need to go to hell. Why are you planning for hell? Why do you go and do wrong that you will die and you go to hell and you'll be burned and that last person will come out to hell? You want to be like that person? How will we bear that fire, the azab, the punishment of hell? How can we bear that? Not a second can we bear the fire of hell. No second. The fire of this world, we can't put the fire in the cooker for a second. But because Allah is saying, talking about friendship, Allah is talking about fulfilling the contract of friendship here. But it's not historical. This is very sad. Allah Ta'ala says that you have belief, you are a Muslim despite being my friend, and you don't fulfill that friendship. You don't extend the hand of friendship. Why? For a reason. Your stomach is not full. Are you not getting food? Are you not getting clothes? Are you not getting water? Am I not fulfilling your needs? Am I not looking after you? Allah says, I'll look after you in every way. And little bit, if I give you a test, ups and downs in life, then why are you getting scared? Allah says. We get scared. Allah says, I've given you a promise of the ups and the downs in life. I will look after you. I'll give you the rewards for that. And that will be included in your rewards in the hereafter when you persevere through the hardships. So me and you sitting, we eat, drink, we have everything in the dunya but even. And this is so sad. This is extreme unthankfulness. You can say this is greed. You can be say it's ungrateful. That Muslim is accepting that he will go to hell. Just one hadith that we just believe, oh, I'll be one day, I'll come out of hell. And we're happy with that. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is a warning Allah has given to us that don't be that person going into hell. That you are a believer, don't be that person, it will be very hard. But Allah says, to fulfill the friendship, Allah says, I promise to you, that even if your iman is so weak, then in the hereafter you go to hell, that Allah says, I'm announcing to you that if you have the proper iman, then imagine where you'll be in the hereafter. Why don't you think about what you really are? Why don't you think about the high status? Why are you thinking about hell? Allah says, why don't you think about good deeds? It's hard for a person to sin. In reality, a Muslim, it's very hard to commit sins. It's easy to do good deeds. How long does it take to do wudu? Tell me. How long does it take for you to pray salah? Is it hard? Is it difficult? But to sin, to get a girl, you have to trap her, you have to phone her, send messages to her, give her food, stay up in the night. You have to work hard and you'll go to a woman and you'll do zina for a few minutes. And how long does it take to do zina adultery? Just a few seconds is enjoyment. But ibadah, worship is so easy, so straightforward that you can sit down easily in your bed for a few seconds in your hot mattress and quilt. Just once say subhanallah. Just takes a few seconds. Imagine the difference. And Jannah is wajib, compulsory, because a tree of Jannah is grown for you and it becomes your asset, your property, then definitely you will go there. Definitely you will go there. If Allah gives you that tree. But you're running after dunya. You're looking at that person, that I am be the last person in hell. Say subhanallah. You want to be the last person in hell? Why? Don't you look on the other side? There are so many chances Allah says, I give to you my servant. So many chances. At that time, you are easy in life. You just have to move your tongue in the world. Just recite the kalima, subhanallah. Allah says that you will get such a high status. But even this, you don't have the tawfiq to do. Even though you're lying down, looking at the pictures on your phone, you're looking at women and girls on your phone in your bed under the quilt. Allah says, it's a warning from Allah. Allah says that the worst person, the worst Muslim, when he comes in thereafter, even then, how will I treat him? He will see Jannah, he will sit in the corner. Allah said, why are you sitting in the corner? Allah, I'm so grateful to you, my Mawla, that you took me out of hell. Allah, just give me this corner. Allah says, stand up, my servant. You are in Jannah now, paradise. And Jannah, your Rabb, he promised to you, your Lord, subhanallah. The Jannati is one. I'll give you one definition of a Jannati. The most important thing in this world is what for us? Listen carefully to what I'm saying. The most important thing for us that is necessary, that makes us closest to Allah, that is the most important thing for a human being. What's that? What's that? That it is such a door to success that there's no greater door than this, that everything we can get through this door, success. What is that door? Every success we can get through this treasure, through this door. What is that? What is that? Without that, we cannot live here. And that's here in this dunya. There's only one thing that we seek. And what is that? Dua. Prayer. Supplication. Yesterday you heard my dua 2 days ago. Did you hear my bayan? And mashallah, it was Thursday night I gave that bayan. I don't know what day is it. Today I just spoken about Hazrat Sahab. I've lost track of the days. Was it 2 days ago I spoke about dua? So, subhanallah. Such an important tool for us in this world. Without dua, we cannot succeed in this world. Allah has opened that door. Whatever you ask me, I'll give to you. Whatever you ask me, I'll give to you, Allah says. Dua is this. But Allah says, but in this, listen to this, Allah says. That Jannah, paradise, how dare you ask for me? There's no dua at all in paradise. No dua. Here in paradise, in the world, we can't live without dua. And there in the hereafter, there's no dua. Allah says, whatever you want, I will give to you. Whatever you want will be your demand. You just have to think in your mind. Even your tongue won't be moved. Allah says, I'll have such angels that just they will understand your hint, your thoughts and your brains. The angels, you will be thinking about meat. Within seconds, you'll see the meat. The deer is made halal and there's roast meat. You'll think in your mind it's being roasted in front of you. He presented you within seconds. Within seconds. Allah says, why are you running after dunya here? You'll just show your desire and thereafter. Allah says, you won't even need to ask from your lips. This is Jannah, paradise. You just have to think. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? How much time we're wasting in this world? 30 years, 50 years, 70 years, 80 years. For what? But Allah Ta'ala, we don't create a connection with Him. Will we create a connection, brothers, with Allah? Will be connected. This is a small connection. What's the connection you make? The five times Allah says, pray salah in your life. That's all you have to do. Is it hard work? Why do we think it's death that coming to the mosque we think is death? Allah has given us cars and body and health, everything. Is there a sharia excuse that, okay, maybe your kidneys failed or you've got a bad sickness? At least you can pray at home. When you say, at least you've got a prayer mat at home, you've got hot water at home to do wudu. At least you can stand. If you can't stand, sit down. If you can't sit down, then lie down. Somehow or other, at least believe, at least start moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, at least start moving to me. But we don't practice. Today, let's promise to Allah ta'ala, tonight, let's promise, the Allah this time will not come again. The morning that went is gone, this evening is gone, Maghrib is going, Isha is coming, the history is going, one day is going, another day will come, light is going, darkness is coming, and the time is passing. Who's in loss? Allah says, who is in loss? There's nothing that is losing in the creation of Allah. The biggest person in loss in this dunya who walks around, shouts around, the person who's alive, who gets the loss, the human being is incurring loss every second. It's a weird thing I'm telling you. It's a weird thing I'm telling you. We are happy. Oh, we are commemorating, celebrating birthdays. Think I've been lost. When your birthday comes, the morning that's gone is a loss. Hi, my morning is gone. This morning, why did I not earn? In this morning, if I came to the masjid and did dhikr, I would have done one hajj and one umrah reward. If I had done dhikr this morning, after that, if I recited Quran, what did I do all morning long? What did I do all day long? Hi, I wasted my day. Allah, I regret it so much. That's how we should be thinking. Allah, hi, I regret so much what time I've wasted in my day. And Allah has even said this, that you don't worry about eating, earning money and business. Foolish person, Allah says, I promise to you that what's in your fortune, your destiny, your money will run after you and it will grab you, your money. Your wealth, your assets, you can't increase your rizq, you're trying to make more money. It's not yours, you're working hard. And you will give that to somebody else. Allah says that the rizq that I've ordained for you, that's enough for you. Why are you trying to get more? This is a test and a challenge. You're trying to make more. You're trying more. But only what you're eating is your rizq, is your wealth. Doesn't matter, you can bank balance and deposit, but you're not going to get that money. This money could go to your enemies. And you, those people even you don't like, your flat, your houses, your shops, your business, your lands, will go to those you don't like. You can hoard them. You can amass them. Allah says, just earn enough. Just earn enough that you, with that money, before that time comes, you have to start to distribute that money. Allah says, before that time comes, spend that money. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Why do you reject the treasures of Allah for the sake of this dunya? Allah says, why? Am I right or wrong? Tell me. Our beards are white, our backs are bending, we're coughing, spluttering, and our lives are passing. We don't know how much loss we're carrying. Today morning has gone. Allah says, the morning that's gone, it was so great a morning. Those people who left their mattresses and came to my masjid and they stood for salah. After that, after Fajr salah, they submitted to Allah, they sat down, they took their tasbih. 30 minutes, 45 minutes, they did dhikr, they looked at the sun rising, and then they did sajda again. Ishraq. One hajj, one umrah, sawab, they went. Subhanallah. Has the morning gone? It's gone, the previous morning. Those people who did this action, they are the real human beings who earned the wealth of the world. No, I'm sleepy, my body, I'm tired, snoring, eating, nothing. If you determine something to earn the hereafter, if you have passion, if you make the niyyah, intention, the after today, doesn't matter if I'm 80 years old, 100 years old, 100 years old, more than that, 150 years old, today, if I don't do it, then Allah Ta'ala will be prepared that today if you make this niyyah intention, the all your previous forgiven errors I'll forgive and I'll turn them into good deeds. Turn to duties, and then the life after today, you carry on doing, I'll give to you. But if you make niyyah today, Allah says, I'll transform your sins into duties. Allah says, don't worry, I won't let it go to waste. Why? Because I'm your friend, Allah says, and your iman, you have belief in me, and our friendship, Allah says, I'll fulfill your rights. Allah says, I'll fulfill your rights. You are my third class friend at the moment, but you are still my friend, Allah says. For example, you find a friend, salam alaikum, wa alaykum salam, you're going to the airport, he comes and meets you, and he needs something from you, and two, three people more are there, then you'll help that person who has already met you before. You say, at least he does salam dua me, I know him from before. Allah, you do that, don't you? You have regard for that person more. The person you don't know, you haven't met before, but a person who said salam before to you, and shake your hand, you said, oh, I met him in that place, in that majlis, he shook my hand, yaar, you come to me, you sit next to me in the seat, I'll sit with you, you be my company. So Allah is your Rabb, you recited His kalama, you believe in Him, Allah has promised you, so the friendship is there. Allahu waliyyul ladina amalu. Allah says, you are my friend in the society, for sure. But that's just a minor status, Allah says. That's just grade one. Allah says, increase your grade, and then see the enjoyment in paradise. Allah inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum. In the Quran. Clear. What's the definition? Do you understand this verse? Do you understand the meaning now? Who are my friends, Allah says? Who are the awliya Allah? Allah says, I'll give them those rewards that the biggest quality of my friend, Allah says, I'll give him that reward. The closer he is to me, the greater. What's the greatest quality of a wali Allah? What's that? La khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. What is that? That the friends of Allah, the biggest, you could say honor of a person who's a wali Allah, the biggest honor Allah gives to that person. And what is that? The person who claims he's a friend of Allah, who claims he loves Allah, and he says that I'm with Allah, for which reason? This, I've seen a dream, or I'm pious, I've done this many hajj, I've done ibadah, I've done this much sujood, I've read this much Quran. That's all on one side. But Allah says, wali, my friend, is that person. Listen to this carefully what I'm saying. Allah says, my wali Allah, my friend, is he la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. That person who has this lifestyle of fear and grief. Grief and fear. The ibadah is afterwards. Ibadah comes after. So all of you have come here to become wali Allah, mashallah. Friends of Allah, alhamdulillah. So Allah says, whoever has this lifestyle, that he is cautious, khawf and grief, fear and grief. Allah says, I declare that person, he is the real wali Allah, who demonstrates fear and grief. And the rank of the wali Allah, the minor, the small rank of friendship, as whoever's my friend, then you can see in the hereafter what he will get, that person. The whole Quran you can read. The rewards of a friend of Allah. And Allah says, all the prophets that came, Allah says, I gave them their status. And all the greatest beloveds from the human beings are the Anbiya alayhimus salam, the prophets of Allah. And that's their rank, their status, the greatest. Allah said, I gave them the highest rank. The highest rank. La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. I gave them that rank. And Allah said, they also had status. I gave them the rank. Some were close, some were greater. And there was a little difference. And Allah said that was the difference. La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. Allah says, all the Anbiya and the greatest prophet, Imamul Anbiya Sarwari Alam, the master of the universe, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the highest and the greatest, the highest, the rank, the holy prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has no one can compare to him. No prophet, none of the Anbiya could reach to his status. What was that? La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. He had the highest level of this. Do you understand up to now what I'm saying? So this is the basis of Allah's friendship. The criteria. The person who will be closest to me is who? Allah says, the Mahmoobi, the Prophet of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So who is the greatest? La khawfun alayhim wa lahum. Who had this quality most? Who demonstrated this most? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He demonstrated this most. Fear of Allah. Grief. And after that came the other prophets. You understand what I'm saying? So after the Prophet, there will be no Prophet after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The final Prophet. But Allah Ta'ala said that this honor, this title will not stop there. This will be converted after the Prophets to the Awliya Allah, the friends of Allah. I will distribute this quality. This quality I will distribute, Allah said. And those people, the Awliya Allah, who after my Nabi, who those who imitate my Prophet, they'll be the Mutabi'een, who imitate and follow the Prophet, they will get this rank and status then. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Peer on Peer, the Peer of the Peer, the Sheikh of the Sheikhs, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, Hazrat Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti, I can tell you more names, Awliya Allah, all the names, you can name them. These are those same people. La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. From those walis, that faqir in whose gathering we're sat today, we've come here today for Ithaliya Thawab to send the rules to him. He is also the wali Allah from amongst the walis of Allah, my teacher. We are sat in here in his gathering today. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. And we are sat in his gathering today, in his majlis, in memory of him. And he had this quality. He demonstrated that. Why? Because who gets this quality? Those people who imitate and follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people who are the deputies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he has attained the deputization of the Nabi. Permission. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. And it's not ibadah. Allah's not spoken about worship. What do you need? What quality? Khawf and gham. Fear and grief in Allah. Fear in Allah and grief. So if you have this fear in Allah and grief, about what you've done. And if you have these qualities, then consider you're a wali. Allah said, I love that person and that person loves me. Radiallahu anhu wa radu an. I become his tongue, I become his hand, I become his eyes, I become his movements. Allah has announced that to the angels. And Allah says, you can strengthen that relationship with Allah. You can get closer to Allah. How? How? By becoming a stronger follower of the Holy Prophet. The more you follow the Prophet, the stronger your connection with Allah will become. You understand what I've said up to now? That the wali Allah, who are the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah, you understand the quality? The wali Allah is he. All the walis Allah in history, the names Allah says, all the wali Allah, you can list them out. Why? Because they followed and imitated the Prophet ﷺ, so they came into that group. And from amongst them is my one, my Shaykh Hazrat Sahib. He's a wali Allah. He was a wali Allah. Now I ask you one question: that لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. What does this mean? You can think about this verse, isn't it? That what should we do? What is this quality? لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Very simple answer. They'll do the translation of this. Those people, those believers, who sit down with these, inshallah, this will be a long night, inshallah, okay? Long night. So say carefully, I didn't call you for nothing. I didn't invite you here for nothing. As long as Allah gives me words in the heart, then when Allah says stop, I'll stop. So mashallah, you're listening to what I'm saying, isn't it? There's a benefit. Take the benefit from what I'm saying. The human beings that, mashallah, if you have the right niyyah, you can make the proper sketch of life, that I want to become a friend of Allah, I want to change. Don't live in the falsehood in life, false pretense. That you can't make things up as you go along. What should make it? What will make you a believer? La khawfun lahum wa lahum yahzanun. What is khawf? What is khawf? Khawf, everyone knows what's khawf, isn't it? Being scared. The person who's scared most from a lion? Is that the person who has fear? Obviously, we get. Are you scared of bees or flies? The person who's scared of other human beings who are stronger than him? This is fear, isn't it? A person, if he doesn't have fear, he can't be scared, can he? So what is fear that makes a wali Allah? That, for example, every woman in the home, she is a wali Allah because she's a coward. She's scared of, you could say, mice or rats. You could say, you understand? So what's the difference here? What's this definition we're talking about? That, for example, if you overcome a lion, are you the wali Allah? You say, I'm not scared of a lion now? No. So what khawf is Allah talking about? Allah says, La khawfun alayhim. They have no fear, nor do they grieve about anything. What does this mean? What does this mean? What is this? Shall I explain to you that I've understood, that I've learned? Shall I share with you? So what is this fear that Allah Ta'ala says, that if a human being has this fear inside him, and he has fear, and he's scared, and he has no grief, he has no regrets. What's that? What's this? That's very easy, because to be scared is very easy. And to not grieve is very easy. For example, somebody takes your pen, you'll have grief. If somebody comes and grabs you and says that, you'll have grief. If you lose something, it doesn't take a minute for grief to overcome us, isn't it? So very easily, that person becomes a wali Allah by not grieving. La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun is something else that is not dunyawi related. What is that then that Allah is talking about? Khawf, Allah says, fear. What should we be afraid of? We should be afraid of this thing, that servant of mine, Allah says, who believes in Allah, who has iman in Allah, he has iman, and he accepts Allah as his Rabb, his Lord. Yes, he has all the qualities of Allah he believes in, and after believing in Allah, then he starts to practically demonstrate that fear. Listen to this now. What is khawf? What is fear of Allah? After believing in Allah, then to physically show your belief. Don't drink alcohol. Don't gamble. Don't leave salah. Don't take interest. So this is the believer now. We have to talk about his definition. It's coming now, isn't it? Don't do this. Don't do that action. All the people in the world do it though. Why can't I do it? What shall I do now? Oh, yeah, it's okay. Just do it. That individual, that believer, who is firm on the belief, who stands firm, steadfast, and he is steadfast and firm-footed, that no, whatever Allah Ta'ala said, I'm going to do just that and nothing else. And in that fear, In that kalima, even if it takes the loss in the world, if you don't take interest, how are you going to run your shop? If you don't take interest, how can you run a business? If you don't do this thing, you can't get the visa. If you don't do this thing, you can't succeed. He says, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَعْزَنُونَ. The believer says, no worries. Am I only going to do what Allah's Sharia tells me? I have no care, I have no fear, even if I die hungry, no problem whatsoever. If my business flops and goes downhill, no problem. If my children leave me, go. If my wife goes, she goes. And that one example has been given from the house of the Prophet ﷺ, from Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. Yazid said, he says, do what you want. He says, you can take the kingdoms. He'll say, if you take bayah in me, if you pledge allegiance to me, Yazid said, I'll give you money. He said, I won't. And he said, one, I'll give you two. He took the children, he took the family, and he gave him hunger and thirst, and he gave his neck. He said, I will not believe in you, Yazid. I cannot pledge allegiance to you. Why? لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا مَحْزُونٌ. Because he had no fear in the loss of the dunya. Understand the definition now of no fear? So haq, with regards to the truth, if you're steadfast on the haq, and all the difficulties that come in that path, that if you don't do this, this will happen. If you do this, if you don't get married, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. This will go, that will happen. This loss will come. That loss will come. This loss, if you're scared of that, and if you do the action that Allah Ta'ala has prohibited, then there's no bigger coward than that person. Whoever leaves that, Allah says, he is my friend. He is my friend. So how many people do this? People who do Hajj and Umrah, read Quran, Tahajjud, Tasbih. There are many people you'll find who worship. But such a friend of Allah, show me that in his house there's no Sharia. And every person he's got a relationship on one basis, Allah is happy, then I'll do this action. My child, my son, my wife, inside, outside, whatever it is. La yu'minu hatta akunu habba ilayhim. That there's no iman, Allah says, until with my Lord, that you should believe, love my Habibs, your wife, your children. Everyone should be below. There should be one standard. The wife of the Sharia says, I will have relationship with people, and without Sharia, I'll have no relationship. Will I eat from? What will happen here? Oh, how will my business run? That where will we give the rent from? That person, so much he's afraid of the dunya, from money. And the friend of Allah says, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. I have no fear of the dunya. I want to follow Allah's instructions. He's not worried about poverty, no thirst. He's not worried about distresses. Example number one, two. More than 124,000 noble companions, the examples in front of us. They were hungry. They ate dates in their life. They came, then they went, and then there was a battle. They came back from a battle, then a battle, naked, no clothes to wear, and their bodies hard like leather, all life long, and they never saw silk, they never saw luxuries, they didn't know what was dunya. Why? They had khawf, so much fear, that after this, so much fear in Allah, so much awareness in Allah. As Umar radiallahu anhu about it stated, great news, that he is wiping his face on the earth. Umar, tomorrow you'll be questioned by Allah, what will you say in answer? Abu Bakr Siddiq, imagine, and he takes a twig from a tree, and he says, oh twig, you're better than me, that you will drop, you will pass away, I'll have to give the answer to Allah. How will I answer Allah on the day of judgment? Abu Bakr Siddiq is saying this. And me and you, what are we? All of us, we have a duty the same. That these big examples I'm giving to you wasn't for them, it's for us to learn. Allah created the Sahaba and made them the creation. And Allah said, accepted, Alastu birabbikum, any soul, all of us here. And Allah put us into the stomach of our mothers and our wombs, and Allah sent us to the world. Every human being has been sent for this purpose, that become my friend in this world whilst you're alive. You'll have tests, you'll have challenges, you'll have to discard haram and interest, and you'll have to stop lying. This is the test. This is the challenge. This is the difference. And Allah says, just for a short while, then you'll have to come back to me, Allah says, in the hereafter. And I'll give you reward for this. I'll give you better things than the world, and you get rewards. And those who don't believe, Allah says that you believe in me. Don't worry about the luxuries of the world. You read the Quran, Allah says. You believe in the Quran. You believe in me. Do you understand what I'm saying? What is the definition of a wali Allah? La khawfun wa lahum yahzanun. And what's the grief? Grief is what? That in the path of Allah, when you stand on the deen, you stand on the Sharia, whatever things in the world you sacrifice, there's no grief in your life. You have no worries whatsoever what you've lost in the world. Imam Hussein, he wasn't worried, oh, my children have gone, my life is going, my luxuries are going. He said, rather, Allah, Allah, you happy with me? He looked to the heaven and said, Allah, you happy with me? That's it. That's good enough for me. I have no worries. Because his friendship was strong. So This is the example of the suburb. We fly on the aeroplane, we come to this country, our parda goes and clothes are wrong, we wear jeans and no parda, no segregation. All our deen goes, just a traditional deen, we take hold of, that's it. Oh, he's alim, he's a scholar. This is nothing in this, in Allah Ta'ala's court. There's nothing at all, no value in ilm of Quran or what are we doing. Allah says there's value in one thing, that amal, practice the deen. That I put you in a test, and that you should have no fear, no grief. Allah says, I'll test you in your life. And then show me that knowledge, that ilm that I've given to you. And then see how I announce that, how good you are. Allah inna awliyaullah, then you are in the rank of the awliyaullah. And first of all, the person who's going to hell will be the scholar who will go to hell first. The scholar. Do you know this hadith? Then why do you eat haram? Why do you leave salah? Why don't you come to the masjid? I'll be saved, you'll be saved. Your ilm, are you practicing on it? The ilm you've got? Do you understand what I'm saying? So let's analyze ourselves. Let's do some reflection. How much we eat, Allah gives us food. From morning till night, we keep on eating, biting, chewing, Allah gives us food, luxuries. And the people who are the enemies of Allah, we eat from them. We beg from them. We should be the friend of Allah and eat. That's the job of the friend of Allah. That even if he's hungry, whether Allah gives or not, but the friendship is the friendship. We don't forget Allah. Never. We ask Allah. And you're bargaining with Allah. If you give me this, if you give me a son, then I will pray. Otherwise, we'll frown. If you give me a wife, then I'll frown. If Allah doesn't give you a nice wife, then you'll frown and complain. No, this is not iman. This is not true belief. One person said, he came with a complaint. He said that, too much, Allah, Islam's too hard. I said, Baba, this beard you've kept on your face and you're praying Allah and you're saying it's too much? Mama, to keep that, wear the turban's too much? Too hard? 5 times salah in the masjid is too much for you? No, I didn't mean that we should work as well, make money. I said that, what sort of iman have you got? That deen that you're saying is too much, too hard, that you need to renew your iman, you need to recite the kalima again, that your nikah with Allah is gone, your contract. I'm telling you the truth here. Anyone who complains, saying too much, too hard is too hard. We're complaining. Astaghfirullah, it's too much, you practice Islam too much, it's too extreme. Always you sat in the masjid and praying. He's saying it's too much the deen. Astaghfirullah. That the joking against the beard, joking against the sunnah, mocking the Imam al-Sharif, the blessed turban. Is this some minor thing in our life? And what's this beard you've kept? People are laughing. His iman's gone. Wallahi, I swear by Allah, his iman is gone if he jokes against the beard. His contract with Allah is finished. Yes, that person, those blessed people, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Holy Prophet was the greatest. Jibreel al-Islam, he could not say anything in front of the Prophet. And can you understand the maqam, the status of our Prophet Muhammad? Millions of times, mashallah, we give ourselves for him. Millions of times over. And we think we are disrespectful to him, or we have iman. That my mouth, thousands of times I wash it with the rose water. Even then, to say the name of the Prophet Muhammad is disrespect. And today we disregard his sunnah, we shun it. Allah says to his sahaba in the Quran, that how dare you, Allah said in the Quran, in the verse of the Quran, that sahaba, be careful, don't speak loudly. Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar, Uthman, Tala, everyone in Allah, that how dare you, any sahabi, you disrespect and elevate your voice in front of my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I will wipe away your deeds. And you won't even know, you won't be able to ask for forgiveness. Allah says your iman will go. And this is the glory. And today we joke against the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. In the dunya, Allah says, I won't grab you maybe in the dunya. Yes, Allah says that I'll send you into the luxuries of the world. But you will realize when you go in the grave, Allahu Akbar, the severe punishments that a person will get. Just like a person who breaks the trust, he doesn't know. Soon as he's grabbed and goes in the jail, then he gets the punishments in the jail. He's in a cell, solitary confinement, no food. Then he realizes, I broke the trust, I broke the law. That's the example. The human being who lives his whole life in the world, when he goes to Allah and hereafter, then he will realize the punishments of leaving the deen. Today there's time, my friends, let's do tawbah, let's repent. The repentance is a great tool that was given to us. That any time in your life, if you realize you've done wrong, wake up. Do you understand? I'm speaking Urdu with you. Do you understand? Realize yourselves what you are. Wake up. If you don't wake up now, then inside you, Allah says, La khawf, have no fear. Allah says, say, Allah, I believe in you. I'm stood in your path. Whatever's haram, sharia, don't leave Allah's law. Don't leave the deen. Out of fear of the dunya. That all of the anbiya, the prophets, Allah gave them miracles. All of the prophets were given miracles. Why? The Anbiya, the prophets, Allah gave them miracles. Those who followed them, they were given miracles so they could get encouragement. So these things are haq. Miracles are haq. Miracles are haq. Visions are haq. Why did Allah give these things to His prophets? Not so that we just believe in Him. Wali Allah. Allah doesn't give him the miracles to increase his status. Or we think that he's more pious. Or he starts to float in the air, everyone comes, as a sahab. Or believe in him, take bow with him. He's flying, he's interpreting the dreams, he's showing you miracles. No. The answer is that karamat, miracle, alogam, Madinatul Manawwara. I was in itikaf once. And a foolish person, he started to say loudly, oh, Wali Allah's here, Wali Allah's here. And my shirt was torn. And my kurta was torn. I was doing dua, do dua. All for example, everyone's coming there in Pakistan. All the Pakistanis came. The Wali Allah Wali sat there, do dua, ask him to do dua. I said, Yaar, what's going on here? What's this noise that's come around me? And this is just someone who says something useful. He said, come, Alhamdulillah, what I've got, I'll give to you. Whoever wants to learn dhikr, no. Do dua for me, do this dua for me, do dua for my children, for my sons, do dua for this person, do dua for that person, do dua for that person. Everything you are asking from Allah, Allah have asked you for everything by asking you. And then the hands don't need to raise after that dua, when you do a sincere dua. So my brothers, Allah says, my awliya, I give them miracles, the anbiya, Allah gives them more jaza. Miracles. Why? For this reason, to prove that that person who's steadfast on the sharia, Allah Ta'ala, through them, Allah helps them with their work of the deen. The Holy Prophet, did Allah not help him? As a Musa, Allah gave him miracles. He gave him a mu'jiza, a miracle. They said, go and go to the people that I am a prophet now and don't worship me, that this miracle is given to you so that people will oppose you and there will be a clash between haq and batil, and you will prove that those people are magicians. That always the haq will overwhelm the batil. The falsehood will always get buried. And when the batil goes, falsehood goes. Those who believed in falsehood, first and foremost, then they came and took iman and took belief. Because the haq is stronger. So they're the first who came into iman. Because this person who's got haq, he is the stronger person. So karamati awliya, the miracles of the wali Allah, they are true. That wali Allah, as a peer and a peer, as shaykh al-shaykhs, if you see all the awliya Allah, the miracles in their lives, the karamat, they are miracles, they are true. Why? Because they are miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And our Nabi, what was his karamat? Was a miracle. The every action of his was a miracle, mashallah. He's moved his finger, his spliff, he said this, the moon moved, and water came from the ground. Whatever he wanted, that from his hand and his feet and his body, he gave the hint and everything happened. Yes, and the tree is speaking, the rock is speaking. There are many miracles of the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And was he trying to impress people, the disbelievers? Even the disbelievers didn't become Muslims now. The Muslim never becomes, the kafir never becomes a Muslim due to miracles. Say subhanAllah. Through the miracle of a wali Allah, he doesn't become a believer. Rather, he got stuck more. And he goes more into it, saying, do this for me, do this for me. Do dua for my son. Or do dua, I can have this, or I can have money in the dunya. Or I can get a visa, or I can go to this country. Am I right or am I wrong? So don't look for miracles. So the miracle is given to the Prophet or to the Wali Allah, subhanAllah, so that he can teach the people to maintain themselves on the right of path. And karamat is given, the miracle, at the time when there's a really bad generation, when the disbelievers are on their beds in the morning, they're not praying salah, young men, women, children in their houses, and they're sleeping, they're under the quilts, the azan, there's no one praying salah, no one coming to the masjid, no one knows anything at all at that time. They were free, totally in the dunya, just where the sun will rise, going to work, my business, my money, drive the taxi. No fear, no grief of leaving the deen, the life is finished. They're worse than the animals. The curse, the angels send curses day and night on those people who don't do these right actions. Is this a human being? Is this a house? Is this a family? It's a graveyard, that house, where they don't pray. And they're happy, money is coming, miles coming, wealth is coming, pound is coming, cars are coming, number plates are coming, I'm getting promoted, ooh, I've got money, wealth, status, companies, business in Pakistan, I've got this much land, I'm making houses in Pakistan, I've got money, bank balances in India, I've got land, big buildings in Bangladesh, I've got houses. We think this is success. Is this promotion? Is this, in a second Allah says, I'll send a wind, it'll go, finish. When you're breathless, breath, when you stop moving, you die, everything is gone. And then how will you answer? This will also be asked of you. You will be made naked when you die. The Holy Prophet ﷺ, his miracles are all miracles. But he never was proud of any miracle. There was one miracle of his that he was proud of. Just one, subhanAllah. One miracle he was proud of, the Prophet ﷺ. تَرَكَ فِيكُمْ أَمَرَيْنِ. He said, I am not going to leave that. Rather, my beloved friends, I will distribute my miracle amongst my friends, the Prophet ﷺ said. He wasn't just proud of it, he distributed it. تَرَكَ فِيكُمْ أَمَرَيْنِ. Two things the Prophet ﷺ said, I leave with you. Two miracles. And no miracle can compare. All the Anbiya cannot compare. What's the greatest miracle? The first miracle of mine, said the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, is my Quran. There's no greater miracle than the Quran. The greatest miracle. The Holy Prophet ﷺ, what is his greatest miracle? This is it. Not making water come out of the ground or things. He said, the greatest miracle of mine is the Quran. That's the greatest miracle. SubhanAllah. And the second miracle is amal, practice on the Quran, which is the sunnah. Yes, tarakta fikum amarain. And I'm leaving that as my inheritance, my true inheritor. Who is the wali Allah, the inheritor Allah, awliya Allah. They will have these things in their inheritance, in their miracles. And this is my Shaykh, Hazrat Ali Murtaza, rahmatullahi. This was his miracle of life as well. The Quran and the sunnah. This was his miracle lifestyle. Today, if we ask, that your Shaykh, what was his miracle? I said, this is the miracle sat here in front of me. All these miracles, show me. All these, mashallah, the mashayikh, I also have my Shaykh. And we'll decide now, you take your Shaykh and I'll take my Shaykh. Who's got the greatest Shaykh? We're going to decide now. You came with madrasas, kitabs, Quran, darul ulooms, big, big things. And this fakir came with two things after I met my Shaykh. Tariqtu fikum amrain, Quran and hadith I came with. When I came after I met my Shaykh. Nothing else did I come with. And these two things my Shaykh gave to me. As Musa alayhi salam was given two weapons. And he was said that you're not literate, but he was a kamil wali, my Shaykh. La khawfun alayhim. He was on the high level of the fear of Allah. He didn't teach me speeches, conferences. He said, go my student, go to the darkness in the UK. And the people are running to the UK for money. And they're selling their deen in the UK. They're leaving their homes in the Indian subcontinent around the world. They're running to the UK. The Arabs I've seen. How do we get a visa for the UK, my friend? Tell me how to get a visa for the England. Tell me, they're desperate. All the people in the world are running into the house, shop, wives. I want a visa, selling their shops, their land, selling their clothes to come to this country. They're dying to get here. This is the sign of Qiyamah. And such they are satisfied that what have they attained by coming here? What are they gaining? Oh, they think they've got kingdoms, big land, and they think that they're the richest people, and he comes on a journey, and then they leave this country in the same way. Remember what I'm saying. Remember, then we won't be either left or the right. We'll have nothing to our names. And we're so content, and we're getting food now. We've got money here in the UK. We've got a job. We've got employment. We're promotion. I'm getting from here. And I'm getting government bonus, government claiming and benefits and cars and number plates. And we're enjoying ourselves. What's there where we left home, back home? Nothing. We came here. We're rich. And the Shaykh said to me, the world, people are going mad in the world. They're running, women, they're getting naked. They're going to the UK, taking their clothes off. Go there and spread the deen and revive the sunnah. SubhanAllah. My Shaykh, he gave me this order. He said, I was on my own. I had a bag in my hand. I had no knowledge. I had no hadith. I had no knowledge. I had nothing at all. Western lifestyle. I was born in a Western environment. High class, 3 degrees, 3 universities. Germany University, Vienna University, Punjab University. What universities I took the certificates from and the subjects that I had studied. I had graduated. And this is the selection of Allah. Allah selects how to spread the deen. I was sat here on my own. It was a day off after my Shaykh sent me here. And it was Christmas season, I think. It was Easter, I think, holiday. And in my heart was a thought. A friend gave me a thought. He said, come on, let's do Umrah. I thought, Umrah, astaghfirullah. Umrah, what are you talking about? I said, Umrah, I'm not good enough to go Umrah. And that's it. Just there was a little, you could say, a pinch inside me, like a feeling, a desire. I don't know with what strength I went, took my passport. He's a very good person. I can't remember his name in Manchester, that person. And Masha, he's passed away, the poor soul. Afzal was his name, I think. He had a travel agency. I went to him, I said, Umrah. He said, Farooqi sir, you want to go Umrah as well? I said, I don't know why. They said to me, go Umrah. Is there any way you see cheap ticket? He said, there's a direct airline, very cheap. And I said, okay, doesn't matter how much money I've got here, take it. And give me the ticket and we'll go there, we'll take the airline, the travel, doesn't, no problem. So I didn't know what you have to do there, Umrah, what not to do. I said, let's go. I said, what do I do there? He said, buy some ihram. And this is how you put the ihram on. He showed me how to wear it. I said, okay, I put the ihram in my bag. Bought the ticket, flight ticket, went to the airport. And then I went into the plane. I didn't know what time of the night I got there. The flight arrived there. It was night time. I went out. And it was a nice time. The 70s, I'm talking about, before that. 70s. I came out. And it was very weird. The fragrance, the breeze felt nice. And I just shook a little bit. I shook a little bit. Then I saw there were people wandering around. And I said, I want to go Jeddah. They said, go sit in that taxi. I said, how much? He said, Riyalain, 2 riyals. I said, okay, 2 riyals. I sat in there. I didn't know. I said, can you move now? He said, no, the taxi when it's full. Then I go, I said, why you put me in the taxi? He said, when there's all the passengers come, then I'll drive the taxi. He said, when it's full, then I'll go. I thought that, so it took about half an hour for the taxi to fill up. Now I kept on sitting. Then the taxi started, went to Makkah. I said, where do I go now? And I didn't know what is Makkah, where to go, how to go outside, what is the second, nothing at all, totally no knowledge whatsoever. What to do there. Night time came, and I just had a bag in my hand. I said, let's go there, see what's happening inside the building, I thought. Inside the building. Allahu Akbar. So I went there, I did wudu, ablution, it was night time, I went inside, people stood there, you know, the guards at the door. They said, oh, Wayne Hadha, where are you going? Into Wayne. I said, hey, I've got a bag here. They said, I put the shoes in the bag. I put the bag there to the side. I went inside and I did tawaf. Then I thought, what's happening here? And in one corner, I lay down. And I was kicked around. You know, in the night, they pick you up. They say, what are you doing here? Why are you lying down here? It was morning time. Then I thought, okay, let's go to Medina then, yaar. I thought, hey, I'm not enjoying myself here. I don't know why I was feeling like that. So I thought, let's go to Medina. I'm just telling you my story. My story. Then I went outside, then they're calling out people, this much real, take the car, car's ready for Medina. I said, how much? He said, 10 real, I think, or 8 reals. I sat down, and that car, when it was full, obviously, then you can go, isn't it? I was on myself when the passengers came. How many passengers? That people, obviously, man, so many passengers in the car, one sitting on the other, that go, sit together as tight as you can. The driver would say, okay, it's full now. He said, Hisab. Then he started to drive. Hisab, give the money. Give your fare. Take the fare out first, then the car will drive. So you give the fare, everyone gives the fare, then the car started. Subhanallah, what a journey of life it was. Beautiful journey. In my life, I cannot forget that journey. This is called sudden meeting. Sudden meeting. Just a sudden meeting, a beautiful meeting. No adab, no adab, no manners. A deep feeling of weird. I arrived there, it was night time, 6 hours drive to Madinatul Munawwara. 9 PM, we got there. I said, where's Masjid Nabawi? And everyone's looking at me. Is he mad? You have to ask about where's Masjid Nabawi? Yeah? This is the truth. Then there was one Bengali. He said, where have you come from? I said, I've come from just landed from Makkah. He said, you don't know about Masjid Nabawi? I said, I don't know about the Prophet. He said, come here. He was a Bengali. I said, yes. And at that time, it's all closed after Isha. The masjid was closed. In the olden days, I'm talking about, it was cleaning taking place inside. He said, here. I said, huh? I thought there was a lot of light there, lots of people there. I said, there's no one here. And I'm stood there thinking. Then I took my bag and opened the door and went inside. Subhanallah. And my first presence of my life, my friends, my first presence. I went inside. And there's all people working, I'm going further, and I'm asking the shurta, the policeman, where's the Rawda Mubarak, the blessed grave? He said, are you mad? How comes you come inside here? And he said, Hina. He said, here. And I kept on walking, and I asked somebody else, he was cleaning, a cleaner, and he looked at me, that this person, how did he come inside in the masjid? He said, look, nobody can come in. And I got to Riyadul Jannah. I said, what's this? He said, Riyadul Jannah. I stopped there. That's where I stopped. And no person was there, just me and Madinatul Manawara. Nobody else at that time, just me. And that was how I met first time. This is love. So then I came, mashallah. I prayed Nafil Salah. I got tired praying Nafil. I thought, okay, how do I go? Which side do I go to present myself? Where's the holy fence? The grave. I'm telling you the truth. I didn't even know how to go to the holy grave. I was so foolish a person becomes, and that's what happens when you have no knowledge. Then there was somebody cleaning a Bengali. I said, where's the place to give salam? He said, you here? He said his hair. Nobody stopped me. I went. I said, As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. That was my first salam. I said, Ya Rasulullah, I'd written a naat, a nasheed. Shall I read that? And then I said, I'm reciting the naat then at the Rawda Mubarak, at the Holy Grave. And so I read the naat. Until I was stood there, kept on standing. I stood there. As long as I could, enjoying, I took the enjoyment. I stood there as long as I could. I said, okay, fine, let's go. How do I exit from here? Then see how I get grabbed. And then when I turned on, I was left here. Then the shudra said, oi! They called out to me. How did you come inside here? I said, I've done everything and you're asking, and I'm just leaving now, I'm exiting. And then they pushed me firmly, and the other person, he pushed me. When they pushed me, they took me out from Babi Jibreel, Bab al-Majid. I said, oh, these are weird people, that I've done everything, I've done all my, what I wanted to do. And when I came out, I said, where shall I go now? A hotel, nobody knew about hotels, I couldn't even think about a hotel. And then I met somebody, so I said, is there anywhere here, where should I stay? Is there anywhere to lodge where I can stay? It's cold, it's quite cold, it's January, I think, January. He said, yes, in my room, you can come and stay here. And subhanAllah, you know, it's a place, Bukhari Sarai. It was a place. And behind that, there was a room, mashallah, and very nice, like a five-star hotel. And the lock was outside. I went inside, there was a bed, very old, alhamdulillah. And there was nothing there, just a lota, a vessel. He said, this is the bed, just give me this much rial to that person. I said, how many days? He said, how many days you can stay? I said, I'm going to stay 5, 6, 7 days. He said, okay, fine, give me this much money, you can stay. Here's the key. And you know, like the padlocks you put outside, the big padlock, and you have the lock and you with the metal. So he said, they close the door when you go and look after your goods. I said, what about having a bath? He said, there outside, there's a tap, you can have a bath there. It's cold, cold water, how can you have a bath? And my heart was feeling that I go in the morning, I do a salam and present myself, then I have a bath and get fresh and wear some nice clothes and go. But it was in the morning, it's extremely cold, but I had to have a bath. So when I went outside, and it was extremely cold, Fajr time, I opened that tap, and I pulled it, and the water came, ooh, I was shaking, I had a bath under that, shaking with cold. And the same Western clothes I had on, because I didn't have any other clothes, I had no beard, and my mind didn't know these things. And I arrived again to Masjid Nabawi, we prayed Fajr. After praying Fajr, Ashab al-Suffa, you know, the raised platform, I sat on one side and there was a pillar in front of me, and there was this much gap, like this much gap here. And I was watching Riyadul Jannah, people are there, I'm thinking, subhanAllah, what a beautiful place. Behind me was Babi Jibreel, the goats, you know, the goats and all the cats, it's just totally raw Medina, like, and I could see my room outside the door. Well, so there was no formalities them days, no luxuries, and suddenly I saw the face with the noor and light. And from it's coming from the Rawda Mubarak, coming to me. I thought, they're great people, they're pious people. I don't know, he keeps on coming closer to me. I thought, where's he going? He's coming closer, closer, closer. He stood in front of me. The person with a face full of noor and light. And he stood in front of me, just a little bit of gap in front of me. And then I looked around at others, then I got lost. I thought, what's going on? So much noor and light on his face. And he had a beautiful sheet wrapped around him, and dhoti sharif, wearing a white dhoti sharif, in his hand a tasbih, and tears in the eyes, surma on the eyes. And because from my birth, all my life, I was in Dera Ghazi Khan, Saraikhi was my dialect, Saraiki dialect. So in that language, he introduced himself to me, Babu, that kisa tati, he said to me, that why are you wasting your time? Such a beautiful tone of voice after such a long time. I heard my dialect, I got closer to him. Then he said to me three times, that have love for somebody and connect yourself to somebody's life. Why are you wasting your time? Why are you wasting your life? Use your life. And subhanAllah, that current, what he said, it was words injected my heart and tears came from my eyes. I'm telling you a true story. Allah, inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim. This is the meaning. So at that time, I looked at him. Then, while he was walking away, he disappeared. And then when my consciousness came to me, then I looked for him. I'm looking here, left, right, the whole masjid, I'm looking for him, but I couldn't see him anywhere. I got tired, then I sat down again. And next to Ashab al-Suffa, the Khudam al-Rasul, you know, you'll see them, the people wearing black uniform, and they're from Sudan, from Africa. And mashallah, they have the dialect, they do khidmat of the Holy Prophet's, the dwelling around there, the environment around there. They're from a different, they're not men, not women, you could say, different nasal. And Allah Ta'ala selected them. and they're from Africa, they do khidmah of the Rauza Mubarak, they clean inside the Rauza Mubarak, the blessed room. And they are the ones who control, you know, what's going on there. And they're very proud, those people. So they sat up, came from there and came next to me, the person. And me and him started to talk, and I don't know what language it was in. And he said to me, "Are you hungry?" So behind him came the "don't lie." I said, "Yes, I'm hungry." I didn't have much money. I didn't have any breakfast in the morning. So he, from his armpit, took out some bread. And very warm bread it was, like chapati. He said, "Half you eat and half I will keep." I said, "Okay." Then he started talking with me. We started discussing. And pure tasawwuf he's discussing with me. Tasawwuf, tazkiyah. And the friends of Allah, he's talking to me about the friends of Allah. And he said to me, "Why are you not bayah yet? Why haven't you pledged allegiance yet?" I was against this action of bayah, pledging allegiance, tasawwuf. I said, "What's bad?" I said, "I don't need this. Like today is a fashion. Well, I don't need a sheikh." I was like that as well. I used to say that. So he spoke to me about that happened, whatever Hazrat Sahib showed me. Anyhow, I took the bread, the chapati. He said, "Take some water." And he had some, he said, "Go there. To the Jali, drink some water." I took some water, had some food and bread, then I came. And then he spoke to me again, in the same way. And then after that, I saw a Darvesh, a friend of Allah's, coming towards me. And he was Maghzoob of Medina. Very famous Maghzoob. Do you understand that? He came to me, he picked me up. And he picked me up, he embraced me, and so, mashallah, he embraced me with his cheeks and his face, and then, mashallah, he took me around Masjid Nabawi. And I was surprised, what's going on here? It was a unique, he's introducing me, I don't know who he's introducing me to. Every pillar he went to, each pillar introduced me. Every pillar he's introducing me. To this extent, that we, from before Ishraq time, we started, until Zuhr time was about to come, Zuhr, and how many pillars there are in the masjid. After that, when totally I lost my consciousness and I was tired, then he went and another Darvesh Wali Allah came. He said, "You are tired now, come, let me give you the gawa, the tea of Medina." And all this happening that day, I'm telling you, that event happened that day. Yes. Then I said, "I'm not going." He said, "Come with me, don't be scared." Then I went with him. And mashallah, he went to a village of Medina and he gave me gawa, he gave me the tea. Then we spoke nice, beautiful things. Then he brought me back to Masjid Nabawi and then I stopped there. And then the next story starts here. This is the story I'm sharing with you, this verse. That mashallah you've read kitabs, but this kitab as well, read this kitab as well. What I'm sharing with you, the life, the story of life. You sat here, mashallah, how did you get deen, understand it? That this khanka upon khanka, how are the khankas being made? No one person can make khanka, otherwise everyone can make khankas. No, every wali Allah can do this, otherwise everyone can make khanka. Is it easy to make someone have a beard, wear a mama, young children, astaghfirullah, they're playing here? Where did they get born? Definitely there must be some big, big force behind us. That you should attain something from this force then. Should gain something from this. Yes, make hay while the sun shines. Take some benefit. If it's a woman or a man, a sister or a brother, in the hereafter when you'll be asked, very severe day and age we're living in now. It's in front of your eyes what's happening in the dunya. You know about it. And how much peace we got right now. Are you remembering around the world? We've forgotten the whole world. We're sat in the khanka. No worries at all. Whatever's happening in the world, we don't know. We just know everything's happening here right now in front of our sheikh. This is Jannah, paradise where we're sitting. How much peace we've got, contentment with, tranquility. When you leave here, oh, this news, that's happened, that war, and this is happening, fighting, and this person's right, that one. Are you thinking about those things now? No. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Khawf and grief, what is that? Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. We're sitting here with tranquility. So now, when all these events happened, I didn't understand what's happening, why has this happened? Then I took the tasbih and I went to Riyadhul Jannah, I sat down, it was Zuhr time, and I got time to sit in Raudha Mubarak in front of the holy grave, rightly where the blessed feet of the Prophet are, that side, in Riyadhul Jannah. And there, I just went and sat there against the fence and started doing tasbih. I saw immediately, I felt that two people come to my right and left, they sat next to me. And then I just moved a bit. And they sat next to me, right next to me. And then they said to me in Arabic, in a dialect, "What are you doing?" They said to me. I said, "I'm reciting Durood Sharif." And the one person said to me, "Are you not ashamed?" I said, "Ashamed of what? I have not made a mistake. Why should I be ashamed? I'm pure, I'm clean, I've not done anything wrong. I've got to a high maqam, I pray Salah, I'm reciting Durood Sharif, I'm a believer, I'm a lover of the Prophet." I said to them, "Listen, the excuses of the Ashik." I gave them those excuses. "Listen, what is the true lover of the Prophet?" They said, "You are the lover of the Prophet." They said to me. and they're giving me warning. And my eyes opened. I glared to them. They said, you are giving pain to the Prophet. My eyes opened. They said, yes, you're giving pain. I said, how? They said, look at your face. They said, do you not know the person who has a face like this, he comes, how much pain is given to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That the Ummati, when he does this, and these are their words, my friends. They said, ukhruj, get out of here. Soon as he said that, like a breeze came and I flew, and I was blown out of that place right to where I sat outside. And my body was shaking at that time. Immediately I went to Bab al-Jibril. I went straight away outside of Bab al-Jibril. I went outside, and there was a person, a barber. He said to me, come here, come here. I said, what is it? He said it was a barber shop, and it was, you know, the fashion at that time of the hair. He said, come here. He took the machine. He made me totally bald at that time. I said, what are you doing here? And he took the hair off. He said, go there. He said, what's these clothes you've got? Wear those clothes. I went, and I said, please give me a tawb. Until today, I've got that tawb. The same tawb I bought that day, that jubba. And I sometimes look at that jubba, that tawb. Subhanallah, I said that. He said, please give me a tawb. I said, how much? He said, no money, take it for free. He gave it to me for free, that tawb. And I wore the tawb, I was bald, and no hair. I made that niyah for a beard, and I went and sat there. Then I saw those same two people and come and sat with me, after I made the niyah for a beard. And then they said to me, is that same person? You're looking so beautiful now, they said. And he said, tell him that your place is free now, you can go back there. Soon as he said, I went back to the same place where they kicked me out from. Do you believe in what I'm saying? Do you believe in what I'm saying? Then, subhanAllah, the injection came inside. Whatever there is, success in life is the sunnah of the Prophet. That this madness, why are we mad? Why are we mad in life with this? Because I've sold my life for the sunnah. That no one is madly in love with the sunnah like this in the world. You'll find nobody. Nobody gets this love, this craze. I've seen this. The Holy Prophet ﷺ, direct I took the message that whatever there is in life, you get through the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. That's it. Doesn't matter how far you are in the world, if you follow the sunnah, the Prophet said you are closest to him. That even if you are embracing the holy fence at the road, but if you don't follow the sunnah, you are furthest away from the Prophet, and he dislikes the person the most, woman or man. And see how we go and present ourselves today in Umrah, and those people who say they're ashiks and they do du'as in their homes. They have music, singing, no parda, women have no parda, they come out without parda. And we have tasbih, we do umrah. So why are we deceiving ourselves? What deen are we following? Taraktu feekum amrayn, the Prophet said, I'm leaving two things in inheritance of the ummah, the Quran and the sunnah. These two things I'm leaving. And the kamil, the true wali Allah, this is the miracle that the true wali Allah has, Quran and sunnah that he teaches. The kamil wali. So I went on a journey then to Pakistan, straight from there, from umrah. And I didn't even meet Hazrat Sahab before that. There was a thought, there was a vision that I'd seen Hazrat Sahab in Medina. I thought, I went to my village, Dera Ghazi Khan. I went to, and I put my luggage down. And then now I had started to pray Salah, Alhamdulillah. And my fortune had changed, my life had changed. And my family folks said, where have you come from? England? Where have you traveled from? They asked me. Obviously, they said, you've gone to the UK. Why have you come back like this in this appearance? And they're all against me, opposed to me. I said, I put my luggage down. I said, I don't want any food. First, I want to pray Salah. I went to pray Salah. And there, very old doctor, Dr. Khalil, atheist, he saw me wearing imama, white libas. I said, he looks like he's him. And he recognized me. He took my name. I said, yes, I'm this. It's me. Is he? I said, what's happened to you? He said, come. And mashallah, he was an atheist. He was a doctor. He said, hey, take my hand. I'll take you somewhere. And he said, there's a darwish has come after 100 years. He's left his village. Gadai, come, I'll introduce you to him, he said. I said, why? He said, he's come here to Dera Ghazi Khan. He's living here recently. And I said, you know, that's the Qari. He said, you know where all of the rubbish of the city used to be thrown there? That rubbish, he's cleared and he's made a khanka there near to your home. I said, is it? I said, who's that Walila? While we're talking, we're walking. While we're talking, walking. He said, recently, it's not even been a month that Sheikh has come from Gadai Sharif. Come, let's go and see him. Dr. Khalil, he introduced me. So when I entered there, I said, this is that same person that I saw in Medina Sharif. He's the same Sheikh. Subhanallah. And I was lost when I saw him. I said, I just met him in Medina Sharif. Hazrat Sahab saw me totally with peace. He was maraqma. He went into maraqma meditation. Quietly. Then he took the hand. He took the hand from here. When your hand came into the hand, subhanAllah, then the light, it illuminated. The flame illuminated. When your hand came into my hand, my life was made. Then the flame, it was illuminated. The path became clear. then the life, it just went upside down. As soon as Asaf took my hand, Allahu Akbar, was lost. What was that? One promise he took from me. What was the promise? He took me, Atiyu Allah wa Atiyu Rasul. Obey Allah and obey His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Sahab's maktub, I was reading his kitab, and today this is the Allah, Hazrat Sahab's day, was it? It was the 16th letter. Amazing. Imagine Hazrat Sahab's tasarruf, his vision. He said, the all of those Ahl al-Dhukr, your colleagues, go and give my salam to them. Hazrat Sahab said, Hazrat, how does he, know that today this gathering, I read that letter just now, upstairs I was, I read the letter. The all your colleagues who do dhikr, give them salam, I want to hear. And give them my message. What's the message? Subhanallah. The same message I'm giving to you. The Hazrat Sahab's vision, his communication, the message of the Wali Allah, give the salam of this darwish to those who have come today. What message shall I give? The message give to him this. Totally the words I'm reading in the letter I'm sharing with you. The Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their love, you should generate their love in your lives. If you have love for Allah and His Rasul, then you will follow and you will imitate the Prophet and you will obey Allah. If you have their love, this is the message they give to me. So if you have love for Allah and His Rasul, then you will follow and obey Allah and His Rasul. So what we learn is without love, you cannot obey. We learn this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hazrat Sahab said this. First is love. And the person who obeys, then definitely has love for Allah and His Rasul, if he is obeying and following. So do you understand the connection? As we say, we are lovers of Allah, we go on marches, we shave our beards, we recite nasheed. That person who has the claim of the love for Allah and His Rasul, then first and foremost, he must follow and imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If there's love, you have love for imitating and practicing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have love. If you have love for a girl, then you start running after her, you start following her, and she says, you do this for me, and if you don't do this for me, I'll meet you at this time. You leave your father, leave your mother, leave your family. So the person who loves his Nabi, will he not follow his sunnah and his conditions? He says, yes, my love is pure, I'll follow the sunnah. You follow all conditions. So the proof of love is when you have love, then you will follow and imitate the Prophet. So tell your colleagues that if you dislike the sins, and if you have the desire for good deeds, and if you have the desire to practice the sunnah, and thus increasing an ibadat worship, you still feel like worshipping. The Mubarak, congratulations, your dhikr is accepted. Your dhikr is accepted. Congratulations. This is the message of my sheikh. And if there's something lacking, then your dhikr is a waste. If you're doing dhikr for rubud, you don't do dhikr for rubud. No. My sheikh told me this. You don't do dhikr for rubud. You do dhikr for this reason, so that the love of Allah and His Rasul can get stronger in your heart. The dhikr that you do, if Allah and His Rasul, His love is not generated, that's not dhikr, that's fraud. You're wasting time. Then you're earning dunya through that dhikr if you don't have the love of Allah and His Rasul. There's one purpose of doing dhikrullah. If you want to be a dhakir, you want to learn dhikr, it's not reward. These are secondary things. Whether you get reward or not, but you should earn the love of Allah and His Rasul through your dhikr. That's the true purpose of doing dhikrullah. Love of Allah and His Rasul. So do we have love? So in that dhikr, the love will come. You will accept haram as haram, halal as halal, you will say. Salah is salah. Salah in jamaat, you will pray in congregation. And deeds, good deeds you'll do, and you'll leave the sins, and the sins will reduce. Then your dhikr is accepted. When your dhikr is accepted, then all the reward of dhikr you'll get as well. But if you do dhikrullah and you're leaving salah, if you're doing dhikr and you do sins and you're earning haram and you're lying and you're doing fraud and you're cheating, you're earning dunya, then that's not dhikr, that's just wasting time. So dhikr is accepted if you're doing the right things. So and alongside this, then Hazrat Sahib said, how dare you, do not imitate those who are against the deen, who do not practice deen, don't imitate them. Don't imitate those who are not believers. Be very careful in not following them. That if you are to imitate, then imitate your own Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Sahib sent this message. Your wife, children, awlad, tell them to follow this lifestyle. Your wife saying something else, your children are saying something else, your daughter saying something else, your son saying something else. They're doing something else. And we're solid Muslims. Well, we're imitating somebody else. Why? Because my son leads Tarawih Salah. He's a proper Muslim. And he's become a scholar. He's a proper Muslim. These are our claims. False claims. Water and milk will be separated by the Wali Allah. The Wali Allah shows the separation between the milk and the water, the oil and the water. So the biggest miracle who has the biggest miracle, who's the Kamil, the complete Wali Allah, and the greatest miracle, la khawfun alayhim wala hum. The Holy Prophet had the greatest miracle, and his greatest miracle was what? The Quran and the Sunnah was the greatest miracle Allah gave. And the greatest Wali Allah in the world, in his hands, he'll have the same miracles, the Quran and the Sunnah. I claim this, that after my Shaykh, he was the greatest Wali of his time, and even now he's there, even now it's the sir of his vision, because his karamat, his miracles are in front of us to see. We can see them with eyes. Can anyone reject? Can anyone reject? Yes, everyone, all of you, the whole Quran, you can refuse it. Allah, khawf, Allah, awliya, Allah, akhun, alayhim, alazim, you can take, can you take this verse out of the Quran? That this verse, if we believe in it, all the words I've said, you'll have to accept them, what I've said today. That my Shaykh was the greatest Kamil Wali of his time. Because he spread the Quran and the Sunnah. So the Kamil Wali, the true, complete Wali Allah, is not selected by nothing. That Allah selects the Wali Allah. More than 70 Khalifas Hazrat Sahib had. And the Khulafa present, the Muftis, scholars, big status Walis of Allah, Khalifas, deputies. And who did Hazrat Sahib select? At what place? SubhanAllah. Where Kufristan, he sent his Khalifa. Where was darkness here in this country? And what miracles were given to me? The same miracles that Hazrat Sahib had, he gave me the same miracles. The same miracles. The same weapons. He said, don't worry that you'll have severe challenges that will confront you. You'll have bad times. Go, get up, take your bedding, take your clothes. These two miracles I give to you, my Shaykh said to me. Grab hold of them now. I said to him, my Shaykh, Quran, I don't even know how to read Quran by looking, Hazrat Sahib. He said, go. I said, I don't even know how to read Quran. These two miracles will be useful for you. What work of the deen? Just two things you need to do when you go back to the UK. To spread the sunnah of the Prophet and spread the love of dhikrullah amongst the people. At that time, could I imagine, could I dream that khankas will line up one after the other, we'll have gatherings, and every type of person that we'll see with the sunnah of the Prophet around us, those who don't wear it, even that person will be ashamed and he will wear it, then he'll come inside. Why? Because he was the Shaykh Kamil, my teacher. He, my teacher, he sent his slave, his attendant, his worker. SubhanAllah, I'm giving you a unique statement here. My Shaykh, he sent his own slave, his worker, his student, to the whole of Kufristan, this country. He made the people the slaves of the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yeah, he sent his own ghulam, his own worker, his own student. And he, all of you, mashallah, ghulams, you are slaves of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We are sinful, but at least we are the last carriage on the train. Inshallah, Jannah is lazim, compulsory, to, because you've taken the hand of Ali Murtaza, my Shaykh. So Jannah is essential. But it's sad to say that such a great Shaykh, such a great maqam, but at least we'd have some strength and we should get a high status. Why are we running to the back of the line? Why are we going in reverse gear? We should do tawbah today. We should understand this message of Hazrat Sahib today, that our zikr is a waste of time. That Hazrat Sahib said, I sent my ghulam to you, my student. You were in darkness, haram. Your whole life was full of haram. You were drowning in haram. Hazrat Ali Murtaz sent his student. And Yukhrij min az-zulumatin an-nur. The Shaykh is saying, from Gadai Sharif, me and you, I didn't come here myself. A jahil, illiterate, the ghulam. Hazrat Sahib said, I've sent my ghulam. That's his quality. That when you meet me in Jannah, then what will be my maqam, Hazrat Sahib said? Arif Billah, my Shaykh. This is the miracle of the Wali Allah. Not this many children, I asked for a son, I did dua, I got money, naat, khatam. No. Wali Allah, he never ends. The Wali Allah, his destiny never ends. He revives the population. He revives the societies. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is today's, in this day and age, the biggest Wali Allah, the greatest Kamil Wali Allah. That if I told you my history, that where did I start my path of deen? How I was prepared. You will never consider me a liar, because I've spent all my life in front of you. That how will I lie to you? What will I earn from lying to you? Yes, I just told you my story, the true events, the sequence. That all of you, how did you come into the deen? Where did you come from? How did you come into the deen? Where did the story start? Where did the tarbiyah start? Where did the reformation start? It all started from Medina, and it will end in Medina as well. It will end in Medina as well. This is the Shaykh Kamil, the true Shaykh. The Shaykh himself is Kamil, then he makes other people Kamil Shaykh as well. Because of the color, the effect of Hazrat Sahib is rubbed off. 70 years, subhanallah. The Quran, everyone can teach you Quran, madrasa, institutions. Alhamdulillah, it's good work of the deen teaching, but this work of the deen, sibqatullah wa ma'ahsan, to spread the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, only the complete wali of Allah can do this. So if you want to enter into this silsila, you can do that. Enter into this box. Even if you're the last carriage on the train, join the train. Women, men, I give you the message, join to this carriage. It's a very great opportunity. Tomorrow you won't get this opportunity. And I don't have anything, I don't have the time, I don't have that much health, I can travel, I don't even have time that I can come. Value the time. Value the opportunity. Hazrat Sahab's tasarruf, and here's the I'm sat here, I'm speaking to this Hazrat Sahab's love. You just met me in Ramadan a few weeks ago. There was a different, today I'm different. It's a different effect, different environment. So do you promise that today you will come, you want to achieve the highest status as a believer? Because Allah has given you the great treasures. Look, Allah has taken out the darkness and stood you in the light. Yes, and you argue in the khankas, even then you're in opposition. Do your work of the deen. And do your tazkiyah, do your reformation, understand yourselves what you are. Go to the khanka and have adab, manners, you have a high maqam, sit there, do tasbih, dhikr, and leave, then come back, end of story. That's the purpose. Then to some you give the responsibility, that's the responsibility. They know what to do. Who's running the administration, who's sweeping, who is giving the bills, who's praying salah. Me and you, we just have one link. We go to the khanka, we get the fares, the blessings of the sheikh, that's it. End of story. Why are you wasting time? Shaykh surprised them. The Shaykh is present even if he's Nawafil praying Nafil Salah, he's reading Quran, and you have an opportunity that your Shaykh is present, and you immediately should close your eyes, you don't look left and right, immediately draw on the fares of the Shaykh. This is the adab, the manners of the teacher. Sit behind him in his company. You don't need to pray Nafil in front of your Shaykh. For the pray, stop and just sit there behind. And the one person looking here to the left, to the right, talking. What's going on here? Someone's talking, gossiping, whispering. 1 second, don't waste in the khanka. Immediately, connect yourself with your teacher. The man you can loot from the treasure, do muraqabah, sit in the company. You won't get this tomorrow. Loot the treasures now when you're sitting in the khanka. Don't waste time. You won't get the treasure tomorrow. There'll be regret tomorrow. Regret for wasting time. Today you have time. Everyone's time. Open your eyes and use the time. Open your time. Open your eyes and use the time. And become wealthy, rich in the hereafter now if you use the time properly. And you can get big balances in the hereafter. And this dunya, turn your face away from the world for a short while. And seclude yourself, isolate yourself for a short while. Just for a short while. La khawf. Don't worry about anything. You have no need to be aware. You'll get food and clothes. Why are you worried about the dunya? Why are you worried about the dunya? You understand? La khawfun alayhim. What does that mean? This is called that when fear of the dunya comes, they call La khawfun alayhim. This is the sign of the wali. Allah says that he understands he's a wali or not. No. He says that I've got this, the deen in my life. I leave haram. I have no worries. Because I'm a wali Allah. Allah will give to me. The wali Allah isn't this, that he goes big gatherings and title, khalifa, piety. This is not wali Allah. The definition of wali Allah is what? The Allah wali Allah deen amanu. Every believer is a wali Allah. He has a rank. But some actions Allah Ta'ala to spread the deen, He selects a human being to spread the deen. And Allah gives him the qualities. That's Allah's selection. Khalifa, hard work, sujood, prostration, wazifa, dhikr. It's not that gives him the selection. Allah gives him the capacity, the capability. And then he does the work of the deen. Allah sends him towards the makhluk, the creation. To men, Allah gives him more jazad, a miracle, so that he can affect and influence society. Not everyone can do this. I want to speak, I want to give bayans, I want to have gatherings, I want to house dhikr, I want to run khanka. Not everyone can do this. Allah selects the individuals. And never did I think, never did I want, I'll go there, make a khanka here. That's fine. Make the khanka, no problem. No happiness, no grief. Yes. So who comes for this? I say, Alhamdulillah. Whatever place you have, Allah has given that to you. 1,000, if Allah gives 1,000. Khanka, there's nothing that can compare to a khanka. They are the light, they're full of light and noor, and the arwah, the souls of the awliyaullah come to the khankas. Even if you're not there, then you'll hear dhikr in the khanka, the awliyaullah, give you guarantee they come. The souls of the awliyaullah. If you stop coming to the khanka, I can't come anymore. Even if the khanka is empty, and if you don't hear the sound of dhikr and tasbih, then come and complain to me. The makhluk comes, the arwah come, the souls come, tasbih happens, they do dhikr, they leave. The jinnat come to the khanka. The jinnat come. Because this is the place of dhikr. It's ordained. It's the place of Allah's dhikr. Remembrance. Sayyidina Tafa said that people are made alive here. That people with dead hearts come here and they leave here with their alive hearts. From the khanka. And this is the place. And it's a great miracle Allah has given to us, that Hazrat Sahib gave this miracle. The biggest miracle of Hazrat Sahib is this. that he has made us alive in this country, in this environment. Mujaddad al-Thani Ramtullah is great. And Mujaddad al-Thani, the reviver of the deen after 1,000 years. What miracle did he have? He was sat one day and there was a faqih who came to him at that time, a jurist. He was an Naqshbandi as well. He came to meet him. And he had high level status, and he's had a status, he had a connection with Hazrat Baqibil as well. And Hazrat Sahib was there, Mujaddad al-Thani, he came and sat in front as well. The scholar, the sheikh. And he had Jalal. And he saw Hazrat Mujaddad al-Thani. And Mujaddad al-Thani, when he saw him, then the feeling overcame him. When he saw Mujaddad al-Thani, the emotion overcame him. He was such a high level wali Allah. When he started to do dhikr, then all the land and the earth started shaking. And he started to do the dhikr. And then the trees started shaking the earth. And because the emotion, it overtook him. It's jais. It can happen. The effect. Then, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Thani said, this is bi-adbi in front of the sheikh. Why is he showing miracle in front of the sheikh? So Mujaddad al-Thani said to him, that bring my miswak. Subhanallah. He said to his attendant, he brought the miswak. And he said, Hazrat, this you are shaking the whole world. You are shaking, you are showing, this is shaking here. Take my miswak. And he took the miswak, then he cooled down, and the earth stopped shaking, and everything stopped shaking. Why? That your karamat, your miracle is to make the earth shake, but my miracle is the sunnah, he said. My miracle is the sunnah. And this is in Maktubat, in his writings, Mujaddad al-Thani. He said that all the miracles you've shown me up to now, now Mujaddad says that the graveyard is in front of you. If you want, then all the dead people, shall I make them come up alive? Shall I show you the karamat, the miracle? He said, no. He said, the biggest miracle is this, the Holy Prophet ﷺ, to revive his sunnah. مَنَّهِ سُنَّةِ إِنْدَ فَزَادَ الْأُمَّةِ. To revive the sunnah, the Holy Prophet ﷺ didn't give the great root for any deed. One sunnah, if you revive it, 100 martyrs reward. 100 shaheed. What a great thing that in the eyes of Allah, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that you get this much reward. If you're getting angry, suddenly you remember the sunnah and you suppress your anger. And you say, no, the Holy Prophet some sunnah, whatever happens, I won't be angry. And you start asking that person for forgiveness. 100 shaheed reward. If somebody dishonors you, disrespects you, and is rude against you, and you have sabr, you quieten down, because this is the sunnah of our Holy Prophet sallam, don't take the revenge, forgive that person. Yes, and we just stand stubborn, arrogant, more angry, because that we don't understand what is the sunnah at that time. So you understand what I'm saying? So if you bring the sunnah in your homes, there'll be no quarrels, no arguments, no facade, no dispute, rather you'll respect. Now you come please, you come first please, you do this first please. That's the style of the Sahaba. So when Sharia comes into our life, la khawf, and the fear of the dunya goes, and you stand on the truth, and you're not afraid, and after standing on the truth, doesn't matter how many problems, difficulties, ups and downs of the world you persevere, that's not difficulty, that will elevate your status. So, mashallah, I'm very grateful to you that you have listened to me clearly. You gave me an opportunity to speak. And I spoke to you about my Shaykh, alhamdulillah, because it's 25th of Shawwal. It's a great, unique day in my life. And it was a Saturday. And I was working. And the phone call came to me after Ishraq, I think, in the morning. It came from home. The Hazrat Sahib has passed away. And I switched the electricity off. It was that the news came, Hazrat Sahib passed away. And it's not a small thing. It was a big tragedy. I had to go through that. But Allahu Akbar, Allah's generosity, that a person controls himself through a tragedy. At that time, the current, the injection that went through me was just one thing. That Hazrat Sahib's not here now, but Hazrat Sahib's mission, I will implement that more stronger than the mission that he gave to me after he passed away. So I said, right then I cooled down, I calmed down. At that time I stood up. And with more effort, more hard work, with more encouragement, that the sunnah, I will revive it more now. Now you know me, how much I've done. You know best. So this is not a minor thing. The tragedies come, ups and downs come. But just stick yourself to the haq. Doesn't matter what hardship you have to go through, what circumstances you have to pass through, you have stood firm. End of story. Imam Hussein revived the practice of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. Hussein. Don't ever go towards haram. Learn how to sacrifice and go towards halal. Learn how to be hungry and hardship. Learn how to be poor. Learn how to live the life of poverty, hardship. And never should a human being run away from effort, work hard. I've seen such people who used to do business. Their businesses, their big building, assets, money, they had lots of funds. I won't say the name. And I said to him, then why do you take interest? He said, leave it, yaar. What are you talking about, Sufi sahib? Business, how will I run my business without interest? Riba. I said, okay, at least do this. That you start to do something dirty. Then give me the top portion, I'll start praying salah. He said, okay, take that. And that's one of the biggest places you see that. Another place they've made, the center. And this humble servant, subhanAllah, he started the praying the salah there first. And today, mashallah, that place is gone, the building's gone, everything's gone. I thought that even he hasn't got even the money to live in his own home. He's passed away. So I've seen that with my eyes, the consequence of interest. The buildings, I've seen them drop down. The people of the world, I've seen them drop down. And I've seen them go high, then come down low. What sort of life is this, my friends? And that person, we said that he had spring, cars, money, wealth, enjoyment, comforts, luxury. He sat here, he had his accountant. Everyone's sitting here, people are sat here because they had the spring and nobody even goes after them now, talks about them, mentions them. He's passed away as well. Oh, he's passed away as well. His money's gone here. So they've all gone, they don't take nothing with them. 70 times doing adultery with your mother is the punishment of taking riba interest. And what is sood interest? That even if you have loaned someone some money, and to take a gift from that person is interest. Yes, Imam Abu Hanifa from there wouldn't even go under the shade of that tree or the shade of the house. He wouldn't pass by if he had loaned somebody some money. That's how cautious you have to be. That's how big a sin it is. And we don't even know that. We put the share in that. Put my share in this business. There's a law, there's a principle, there's an environment. The how you should have a share, how much you should take, how much profit you should take. What's the principle? Should be careful, cautious. It's a life is 4 days, 5 days, temporary life. Eat dry bread, less food. If you get money within the circle of Sharia, accept it. If not, then stop it. Leave it. I have no need for this money. Keep it to yourself. Learn, whoever learns how to sacrifice, la khawf, he will learn how to have no fear of the dunya and have the high status in the hereafter in Jannah. That person has no fear in the dunya. So when, I'll share the last point with you. That when these two feelings overwhelm you, then the human being, what happens to that person? Listen here. That what's the nur, the light that comes into him when he has these two things? When these two things come inside you, then the third nur, the light comes, Allah puts into you. Tawakkal, reliance in Allah. Tawakkal Allah, tawakkal al-mu'mineen, Allah says. That the mu'min, the believer, who has khawf, no fear of the world, and he relies on Allah, then his trust in Allah strengthens. He becomes strong. It's not today, if not today, tomorrow I'll get it. No worries if I don't get today, tomorrow. Allah will give to me, inshallah, one day. Tawakkal Allah has a high level, high status. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the ability to practice on what we discussed. Ameen wa akhru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, we'll pray Isha Salah now. And then after Isha, then inshallah, we have the majlis. We'll continue. Then we'll do Dhikrullah. And then after that, we'll see what happens after that. So inshallah. Yusha, give adhan, please. Thank you. We have some guests. Mashallah gives good adhan. Where's he gone? Please give adhan. Adhrim sir, mashallah. First time he's come to Akhanka. He's a high level darvish. He's got name is Darvish and he's a high level darvish. Mashallah. High level. And very great alim, scholar of India. Please go and give adhan. Please tell him where to do adhan.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لله العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المؤمنين طه وحي زين وحبيب النبيين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن صليت على إبراهيم إنه حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا ومدنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطفنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان. وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم استقبلنا بسنتي ونفعنا بمحبتي واشرنا بزمرتي يا كريم. اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرادنا. اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمي اللهم عافنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم دمرهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم دمرهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم دمرهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.